You are Locked On Pirates, your daily podcast on the Pittsburgh Pirates, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm Jared Prugar. I'm with my co-host and credentialed Pirates reporter, Alex Stump. Alex, how are you today?
Good, good. Tired. It's been a busy week down at PNC Park, but hey, got through it. Got a couple more homestands in the near future. Really excited about it.
Excellent, Alex. It's great to hear. And you said you're tired. I would imagine that all the Pirates runs this weekend was cause for your fatigue, and especially the play of the starting pitchers. How would you rate that for the Pirates this weekend?
All the runs tired me out because, I mean, the curse of being a beat reporter is you got to tweet out all those runs scored. All right, that really puts a lot of stress on your fingers after a while.
Do you have carpal tunnel yet?
Oh, I will. Give me until June.
Okay, especially at the rate the Pirates are going. Let's get right into it. You know, it's Monday. The Pirates are 7-2. Is that correct?
That sounds about right. Yes, it is.
You know what? It's fine. It sounds good. I know they only have two losses. So, what are your thoughts on all these wins? Also, let me preface this with, I picked them to win 86 games. They've got 79 more to go.
Yeah. 86 and 76 sounds pretty reasonable. Congratulations to everyone who took the over in Vegas at the start of the year. I think that line was about 73.5, 74.5, one of those two. I think the naysayers are starting to realize that, yeah, they'll reach at least that. I mean, they took 3 out of 4 against the Reds. They swept the Tigers. I mean, wins are wins, but those aren't exactly the strongest quality opponents out there. I mean, they're probably going to be 2 of the 3 or 4 worst teams in the league this year. So, I mean, not to belittle a 7-2 start, but this series against the Cubs is really going to be the team's first test to see if this is a team that could hang around with the big boys.
You're right. And while 7 wins is nothing to scoff at, especially
getting out to a good jump,
it's how good are the Pirates, really? I mean, you played 3 not so good opponents between the Reds, the Twins, and the Tigers. And you've played really in some real bad elements too, which I think adds to the mystique of this team so far, because they've, through 9 games, they've played in rain, sleet, snow, wind, and hardly ever played in the sun, which is something to note as well. But in those 2 losses, what would you think are the key factors for them not getting the job done?
Well, before we go on the losses, real fast on the weather, another reason why we don't know exactly how good this team is yet. Someone like Trevor Williams, his first 2 starts, he walks 6 the first time around, and then second time around, he gives up 10 hits, which both starts are very uncharacteristic Trevor. But then again, this is a kid who grew up in San Diego and then pitched at Arizona State. And then he said after his last start, he's like, I've never pitched in the cold before. I'm sorry. I'm learning. I don't have a feel for a breaking ball yet. Hit me up after we go to Miami. So I don't know how much of this rotation is feeling the same. I know Cool is from Delaware, but Tyon's from Houston. And Tyon's been here for a couple years. He can't use that built-in cold excuse. Trevor's got that in the bank, I think, still. This is the first time he's actually had to pitch in April.
Right, and that's what's tough about this time of year. Offensively, the Pirates are good, I think.
Yeah.
1 through 9 really have hit the ball very well. My boy Jordy Mercer was hitting .333 heading into Sunday's games. So that's a plus. You know, anytime that Jordy is hitting that well this early in the season, I think that's going to pay huge dividends later. As he, in years past, as he's trying to stay above the Mendoza line. But you've got guys like Gregory Polanco mashing the ball, Colin Moran, who's had some quality at-bats pieced together. And same thing with Alex Dickerson. These new guys are proving why they went out and got them, and it's actually paying off for the Pirates.
Yeah, I mean, Polanco has been the real key, I think, for that offense. I mean, he's healthy. Yeah, he fouled a ball off his foot on Saturday and had to get scratched. But 7 wins so far, Polanco has driven in a run in six of them. 6-0 whenever Polanco drives in a run, 1-2 whenever he doesn't. I'm going to be keeping track on this for a long time because he was my, you know, guy that this offense needed. And so far, he's delivered.
Right. He's been super consistent at the plate, which has been great. I know watching, I want to say it was against the Twins, he was working a ton of walks. And that's, I think that's the biggest thing for him is he's been patient at the plate. And you see that where he's driving the ball to, with power, really wherever he hits it. And that's huge, finally, for him to come around. And especially if he can stay healthy the remainder of the season. And even especially early here as the cold still impacts the team. Because that's the cold's really where you get beat up, where you're not warm enough, your muscles are tight, and that's where the muscle strains and aches and pains really start to begin. But Polanco's been playing out of his mind, and this is the Gregory Polanco that we, I think, all wanted to see from the get-go. We just haven't been able to see it because of health issues and this, that, and the other thing.
But getting back to what you started this preface with, what concerns me, it's really just been one thing, and that's been the bullpen. I guess you can double team it with saying the starting pitchers haven't gone to as deep as you would hope, but Taillon just pitched a complete game shutout. It's early, they're still getting stretched out. I'm not ready to put too much, you know, stock into that yet. Bullpen, right, though, it's not looked good. They had that those three shutout innings in Detroit in that 1-0 game. But every other game that they've pitched in, they've allowed at least one run. As a whole, they're rocking a 5.67 ERA. The only teams that are worse, Royals, Nationals, Reds, White Sox. Those are three very, very bad teams, and a Nationals team that just, I guess it's against the law for them to have a decent bullpen. That's not going to get the job done. Someone needs to step up. Rivero, Contos, and Feliz, 7-8-9, all have a bad outing on the books already. I'm sure they will settle down. But out of that middle relief, Neveroskis hasn't looked good. Smoker hasn't looked particularly good. Glasnow, I think, could be an interesting choice, but Hurdle is dead set on keeping him in long relief because why would you make him change roles again after just three games as a relief pitcher?
Right, and that's the thing. I'm not worried about the starting pitchers. They're only going to throw 70, 80, 90 pitches to start the season. How deep that goes, whether it's 5, 6, 7 innings or a complete game like Taillon threw on Sunday. But the biggest thing that scares me is the middle relief. I mean, we're living in a world right now where Tyler Glasnow is our best middle relief pitcher.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think Feliz, Contos, and Rivero in the back end of it are solid. I mean, yeah. I want to say
there's, that their stats are out of whack because it's early and they're all wearing a bad outing. So
right, that's the thing. And they've got a small sample size. So you've got a guy, especially Rivero, the outing that he had that was piss poor, it was cold. It's a guy that's from South America. South of the border guy. So, and a lot of those guys, you're getting up here and it's completely different baseball than what you're playing in Florida, whether it's in Bradenton or Fort Lauderdale or Jupiter. But it's just one of those things that essentially you just got to kind of adjust. And the good news is after the Chicago series, they head to Miami and it's a controlled environment if it's in the dome. Well, it will be in a dome, but whether the roof's open or closed, or if Jeter doesn't want to pay that bill this week, it's probably going to be closed. But we'll see how that goes and how they perform down there against another not-so-good team. I believe they lost 20-1 against the Phillies on Saturday, which is embarrassing, and also not to be unexpected against a team that really was stripped of everything over the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, that, like I said, Cubs series is obviously the big series coming up, but they get to follow that right up with, you know, a punching bag again, which is nice in Miami. I mean, you got to win those games, obviously. They count just as much as beating the Cardinals or Cubs, but I think getting Chad Cole and Ivan Nova. I think those are the two scheduled starters for Miami. Getting them in a warm environment. They're probably the guys who could use a controlled environment to get back on track most.
Nova especially.
Because that first start in Detroit, yeah, it was 5 innings, 2 runs, but he had to pitch out of bases loaded, nobody out twice.
Right, I mean, he was sort of a disaster that entire game.
It was – do you ever see that gif of the car skidding on black ice, and then, like, at the last second it does, like, a power drift, and it's all fine, and it avoids, like, 2 semi-trucks coming through?
Right. And that's essentially what he did.
Second time he hit the trucks.
But no, that's the thing. It's still very early, but the Pirates are trending in the right direction, especially offensively. I really don't see a very big of a hole in that lineup. And forgive me if I'm wrong. I know you've got a lot more games than I have because I've been focusing on the minor leagues. But you've got good production at the top half with Jehe, Polanco, Marte, and the guys, and Josh Bell. And then you've got Moran and Dickerson, as well as Jordy Mercer, down towards the bottom, and then Cervelli as well, that have really hit the ball pretty well and have been stinging it.
Yeah, I mean, through the first 9 games, I guess the 3 worst hitters on the team have been Marte, Cervelli, and Bell, and none of them have been particularly bad. It's just Jehe's constantly on base. Moran's clicking. Mercer's having one of the best starts to his career. Polanco, like I said, is just absolutely demolishing the baseball. So, Corey Dickerson, he had a huge series against Cincinnati.
Nice to see him. Statistically speaking, sorry to interrupt you, Alex. I figured this is of note here. You've got everybody aside from Marte and Francisco Cervelli hitting over 300 at the moment.
That's you take that every time,
right? Which they're fine. Like if obviously the season's not going to end like that. But to run, I'm going to run down through some of these averages. Colin Moran, 345. Harrison, 342. Josh Bell, 324. That's both sides of the plate. That's impressive. Jordy Mercer's 321. Gregory El Cafe is 310. Corey Dickerson's 303, and then you've got Marte and Cervelli at 257 and 143, respectively. So that, and I think Cervelli's had to deal with a lot of the elements behind the plate, and I think that might be seeping into some of his hitting. When it's wet, it's miserable. You've got loads of gear on. It's probably a little bit more than meets the eye to Cervelli, at least this early in the season. Because he's one of those guys that's in every play, whether he likes it or not. He's got to catch, receive the ball, throw it back, and then also got to focus on hitting when he comes up. But yeah, I think offensively the Pirates are in good shape, and if they can go into Chicago and win some games, then I think it's time to say, okay, well, these guys might actually be the real deal. But anything's possible.
Way too early prognostication. I can't talk today. Way too early prediction, because I apparently can't say the that word. Wow. I haven't slept. What word am I thinking of there, Jared?
It's all right, Alex. Prognosticating?
Prognostication, yes. Wow. I'm gonna
words
put it
are
to
hard, Alex, and it's okay.
Words are hard, man. But that word, I'm going to put it in a text-to-speech, and while you do that, what do you see the Pirates doing these 2 series?
You know, I think they should handle the Miami Marlins fairly well. I'm intrigued. I'm going to look at the projections here for the projected starters real quick in my at-bat app. I mean, you've got Nova going tomorrow, or Nova going on Monday, opening day for the Cubs, so they should be pretty hyped up for that. And then you've got Brault versus Lester in Game 2, which has some potential there, and that'll be on Wednesday. And then Game 3 on Thursday is going to be Trevor Williams and Kyle Hendricks. So if you can go out and win 2 out of 3, they're going to be in good shape heading down to South Beach to deal with the Miami Marlins. sans Marlins man. So I'm interested to see how that offense handles even more elements. And I think this year, of any, this is a team that's prepared to go into Chicago and deal with the Windy City elements at Wrigley Field more than they have in the past because of what they've had to deal with in Pittsburgh. The weather has been abysmal. You've gotten rain, sleet, snow, like we said before. So you go into Chicago, and you're going to have probably the same things. So this team, I think, is very well prepared. Then you go down to Miami and hopefully steal some games and use that to kind of stay the course, build some confidence in your pitching and on both ends, whether it's the front end and the rotation or the back end and relief. And I think that's what's imperative for them the next two series coming up this week.
It's not saying the word for me. I hate you from text-to-speech.com. Yes, I'm going to make it say this word for me. Ugh. Okay, but as far as the next two series go, they get to miss Quintana for the Cubbies.
That's
huge. I mean, they don't get to send JMO out. All right, the two aces are negated. They still have to face Lester, who I think is on the decline of his career. I don't think a lot of people would argue with that. I mean, most would still say he's still a potential all-star, but I think the Pirates squared him up pretty well last year, even if you take away that horrendous 10 runs and two-thirds of an inning start.
Yeah.
So him, Yu Darvish, and Chatwood tomorrow, or today, because it is Monday, not Sunday whenever we're recording this. It is Monday. I think as a whole, Cubs are probably going to take 2 out of 3 because they're at home, but I'm going to just flat out call a straight sweep in Miami. Hopefully someone in that bullpen can step up, someone young, either a Santana or a Neveroskis, or even throw Clay Holmes into the mix or Smoker.
I was pleasantly surprised and pleasantly pleased with the way Holmes pitched Friday night in Pittsburgh against the Reds.
A lot of ground balls.
And those were some bad elements.
He's not going to get a real chance to be, you know, a ground ball specialist this stint in the majors. But I think we've talked about this already. I would like to see the Pirates give it a crack.
I have more trust in him at this moment than I do in Smoker and Neveroskis at this point in time in the season. And that's saying something.
What? Smoker has the lowest ERA on the staff. What are you talking about? That's the only metric for relievers that matters.
Right. That's what they all say.
Hey, remember like 5 minutes ago whenever I talked about the Pirates team bullpen ERA?
Yeah.
Yeah, ignore that now. But as a whole, for the trip, I'm going to say 4-2. They come back to Pittsburgh 11-4.
If they win both series, I think they're in good shape. I would be pleasantly surprised with that and pleasantly pleased as well. So I have to ask you this, Alex. You're in the clubhouse nearly every day, and you were there last year as well. A lot of people in the Pittsburgh sports media said that or have said about how this team doesn't have a chance or Snowball's chance in hell of winning or competing, this, that, and the other thing. Compare the atmosphere in the clubhouse last year to that of this year. Now, obviously, there are some wins and losses here now this year than there weren't last year, but tell me what you're seeing in the clubhouse.
I think Bill Brink of the Post-Gazette puts it best whenever we're asked a question like that. It's like, well, clubhouse seems fine, but then again, they're on their best behavior for us. I mean, if we walk in there and there's fighting or something like that going on, it's really, really bad. I haven't seen something like that yet. But there is a lot more music post-game this year than there was last year. Last year, they win a game, and it was fairly somber, even though, you know, they just won. They were at the dance parties whenever they swept Milwaukee for about a month, and there are dance parties now in April. So it seems looser, I guess, as a whole, more fun, but I wouldn't, you know, swear on a Bible and say, like, this is it. This is the best clubhouse that we have seen over the last 3 years. It looks healthy, though, from the outside looking in or coming in every once in a while.
Now, Alex, being at PNC Park every day, and you're in PNC Park every day. I'm at PNG Park or PNG Field in Altoona nearly every day. See, as of right now, it's been every other day based on other obligations that I've got. Where do you like to eat when you're not eating food in the press box?
Well, actually, we got to pay for our food for the press box. There's the press dining downstairs, so I usually don't do that too often unless, you know, I'm just planning to spend literally the entire day at PNC Park. Like,
you're missing the point, Alex. I'm asking you, if you had a place to eat at PNC Park, where would it be and why? And not the press dining room, because not everybody has special privileges like yourself.
You started that off with, well, you're there every day. What do you eat? It's like, well, that's what I usually eat if I'm there working. But if I am just regularly eating at PNC Park, like a normal person, like a member of the public, I'm either at Buckaroo's because I'm broke. Or if I'm going to spring, I'm going to go say hi to Manny.
I love saying hi to Manny. One of the best. I'm a cheeseburger fan, and we'll get into that here in a couple seconds. I love Manny's barbecue. I love getting the cheeseburger platter with double coleslaw. Because what's something in Pittsburgh without coleslaw on the side or on top of it? That's kind of the thing over there. But I also like Chicken Pete's crab fries. Those are always a go-to.
I've never had the crab fries. I don't even know where Chicky Pete's is.
Come on, man.
Where is that?
It's it's in the left field.
You don't even know where it is.
It's in the left field food plaza. The left field little food plaza, like where Chicken on the Hill is. Someday when I come over to Pittsburgh, I'll show you around PNC Park. Because obviously you're not
getting all that dead air for a second as I'm trying to recollect. Like, where is this place?
If you're walking on the concourse down towards the left field rotunda, it'll be off to the left in that little food area. Chicken and Pete's is right in there. But as I was saying, while you're conjuring up your thoughts on where things are in the ballpark, it seems like you're not getting the PNC Park experience. And I understand you've got a lot of work to do. But what I'll do when I come to Pittsburgh, and we'll take a lap around the stadium, and I'll show you everything, because obviously you're not seeing it. Although it could have also gone away from last year, being I haven't been to the ballpark yet this season.
And then I'd be in the right.
And that's not really a world we want to live in at this point in time.
Never. Never.
It's all about myself being right. 79 more games, and that'll be the end of my predictions. But now for my burgers, Thursday night and Saturday, while we don't have as vivacious of a spread that you guys have in the press dining room at PNC Park, at PNG Field, we've got ourselves some powerhouse subs occasionally in the press box. But really, the real deal are the curb burgers. And anybody listening that comes into Altoona, this is the year to come to Altoona. You've got Will Craig, who hit a game-winning home run on Saturday. You're going to see Stefan Alames, who's a middle infield prospect. You're going to see Cole Tucker, who I think is going to be the face of the franchise here in a couple of years, barring any injury and trade. You're going to see Mitch Keller, who was a stud again today, giving up two hits in the shutout for the 3-1 curve. But you're going to see quite a bit of guys that have got talent. Ke'Bryan Hayes, Brian Reynolds, eventually Jason Martin, who is on the shelf right now for undisclosed reasons. Elvis Escobar, who's played very well the last year or so in Altoona. This is the year to come to Altoona to see not only good baseball on the field, but also the curb burgers. there.
I gotta get a Kirk burger. This is twice we've talked about it already. I need one now.
Well, and that's the thing. And Alex, when you come visit me, because I'm a nice guy, I will buy you a Kirk burger. That's the thing. So we'll see how that goes. But.
And you know what? Whenever you come to PNC Park, I'll buy you something from this mythical establishment that apparently is in the left
field.
We'll
split some fries.
Okay.
But, Alex, the time has come. I don't want to take up any more time of our lovely listeners. What are your thoughts? What are your final thoughts going into this week?
Prognostication.
There we go.
Couldn't have said it better myself. What's your prognostication for this week?
4-2.
4-2. Okay.
Yes.
I'm saying 5-1.
More optimistic. All right.
I'm the optimism train. So, with that said, I'm saying 5-1. You're saying 4-2. We've got. Actually, let's put a wager on this. Instead of you buying me food when I come there, and you and me buying your food when I come there, or when you come here, this is how it's going to be. If I'm whoever's closer, the loser buys food whenever we're at each other's respective ballparks, whether you're coming to the Curve or I'm at PNC Park.
All right, so basically Pirates have to – 0 wins through 4, I get it. 5 or 6, you get it. I'll take that.
Yep. That's against me.
Hey, you said it.
I know. Hey, listen, you reap what you sow. But on that note, with our bets in hand, this has been for Jared Prugar and Alex Stumpf. This has been Clear the Deck on Locked On Pirates, your Pittsburgh Pirates podcast of choice. Have yourselves a happy Monday.